Devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what.
Welcome back to the Loyal Sons Podcast, presented by Capel Faithful. That's at Capel Faithful on Twitter. Follow us there and follow us here wherever you listen to your podcasts. The Loyal Sons Podcast, a safe, sunshiny place for your Pitt Athletics fix. Today is Thursday, October 7th, 2021, and your Pittsburgh Panthers are undefeated in ACC play following their absolute domination of Georgia Tech. And I gotta ask my co-hosts, is this the worst Northern Invaders have ever treated the city of Atlanta?
Yes.
Definitively, yes. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dylan and John. How are we feeling about Saturday's game?
The Pittsburgh Panthers are at the top of the ACC Coastal, and the Kenny Pickett Heisman campaign is taking off, so what more can you ask for?
I feel a little too good right now. It's unsettling. But I feel great.
I couldn't agree more. The entire time I was watching that game, even as we were up, you know, three or four scores, all I could think was like, what is the worst thing that could happen in this moment?
I was very pleased with how our viewing party handled that game, because Pitt went up big early and then Georgia Tech got like their big chunk play to bring them back in it. No one got ahead of themselves. In years past, Pitt goes up big. We're all hooting and hollering, thinking, let's go, let's blow this team up. It never happens. We were expecting a Georgia Tech comeback. We were expecting to clench our butt cheeks for the entire second half. But it didn't happen. We were expecting it, and we blew them out. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, I think at this point, maybe, just maybe, we've been hurt enough to finally start to temper our expectations a little bit. I know after Georgia Tech made it 28-14 with the long drive, they kind of just ran the ball down our throats for 4 minutes. And David, I think you looked at me and said, we're going to lose this game, aren't we? I told you to shut up. And then we proceeded to go up 42-14 by halftime, and it was really in cruise control from there.
It's funny because we watched this game, as some of you who follow us on Twitter know, at formerly known as Peter's.
It's still Peter's.
Peter's Pub, formerly known as Peter's Pub.
Yeah. Peter-o's.
So we watched the Pitt-Duke game from a few years ago there, whenever Pitt was up like 28-7 and Duke came back, and we needed a Kenny Pickett comfort behind victory to save our asses in that game.
Malik Carter hit the B button, move into the end zone.
It was the same place. So I was like, hey, fellas, we were here before. Like, not just the team. We as a group of fans were in this position before. Let's like keep our heads on straight, not get ahead of ourselves. But I don't know. This offense is just different.
They are, and I think, you know, the story of the day was obviously Kenny Pickett. We are going to discuss him at length coming up, but there are a couple other key areas I want to focus on. Is this the game that our run game figured it out? And by figured it out, I mean, did they figure out how to properly supplement a Kenny Pickett offense?
Yeah, so I think, you know, that's just about what we should look for the rest of the season. I think the running backs combined for right around 160 yards, nothing out of this world. But at the end of the day, you know, Izzy had 15 carries for 60 yards, more importantly, two touchdowns. And finally, he's the leading carrier on the team. Ran the ball hard.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Ran the ball hard down by the end zone. And honestly, you know, just getting those first down chunk plays, getting to a second and four instead of a second and nine was just huge for the offense, really opened things up. And I think Rodney Hammond's starting to come on a little bit. He looks really good.
Yards a carry.
They didn't give him a ton of work, but, you know, six carries for 48 yards and just something about the way he runs the ball. He looks really promising for the future.
I think what we're seeing is the passing game truly open up the run game. People always say, establish the run and we'll open up the pass game. We're backwards. And I think Whipple tried to do that in years past, because we would never even try to them the ball, Pickett would throw 50 times a game. Now the passing game is opening up the running game. Teams understand this Kenny Pickett guy can shred us, so we have to be prepared for that. And they're so focused on guarding our insanely good receivers. Shout out Jordan Addison getting national attention too. that it's creating opportunities for the running backs, and the offensive line looked good as well.
Yeah. Give them some credit. I wanted to give them a little bit of
perhaps
credit.
Perhaps the biggest surprise.
They were kind of maulers a little bit on Saturday. I mean, Pickett had eons to throw. This is a team that sacked Sam Howell, what, eight times a week ago?
Yeah, and they got Pickett once.
They got Pickett one time. The offensive line held their own, and when we needed to go downhill, they were. And I know we had higher expectations for the run game. I think Dylan and I each pegged Izzy at about 1,500 yards this season. I think it's obvious that's not happening. But what they can do this year is fill in the cracks for Kenny Pickett. Because we can't have him throwing 60 times a game. But if they are able to get 120 yards on the ground, a couple touchdowns, and basically just give him, you know, second and short, third and short, he can pick teams apart. That gives him so much opportunity to go over top.
I think it's about as balanced as our offense can be when you take a look at the players we have, and you want to throw in a ton with Pickett. I think we're going to put up a ton of yards and a ton of points in every game because of him, and the run game helped that obviously, but that's about as balanced as we can get. We had 41 carries.
Yeah. My one gripe still with the running game is using Vincent Davis as the short yardage back. I'll give him his credit where he's due. I thought the way they used him this last game was better. It's getting better. I liked the spots they used him in. He did scamper for first down on third and one at one point. Good for him. But down on the goal line, they gave him the ball a couple times, and I would love to just see it go to Izzy. Izzy had a third and two at one point where he just literally got the ball, got downhill, put his head down, and just planted some guy and got the first down. I still think he should be the short yardage back, but shout out to Daniel Carter making that move to fullback and catching the touchdown down there on the 1 yard line.
Taking advantage of his opportunities.
Gotta love it. So, well, while we're speaking about our offensive weapons, I think we should just take a couple minutes to say nice things about Jordan Addison, because it's all my impulse wants to do.
Yeah, he's just a Sunday guy. That's all there is to it.
Unbelievable.
No one can cover him, and clearly Pickett's favorite target. And the more and more he attracts attention, I don't know what teams are doing to him now, but you know, it opens things up for Mac. He said in the post-game press conference that on Mac's long play in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm just going to run these two guys off, get open. And that's exactly what he did. And there was no one near Taysee or Mack when he caught it. And it's because two defenders ran deep with Jordan
Addison. Addison said that about...
Correct.
Yeah.
Addison said that, and he was like, you're going to be open. I'm just going to run these guys off.
Yeah, what's most impressive about Addison to me is he's doing it in, like, all levels of the field. He's catching deep balls over the middle. He's had a couple, like, 60, 70-yard catches from Pickett on those deep posts that Pickett loves to throw. He's in the short game on crossing routes, making guys miss, picking up first downs. He's doing it all levels in the slot on the outside, so I don't know how you can contain him and also not just let a guy like Taysom Mack burn you on the edge. So those receivers are doing a lot of good things.
What I like about what Whipple's doing, which is a sentence that if I said it halfway through last year, I wouldn't believe that those words came out of my mouth. I feel like in the past, with an athlete like Jordan Addison, he would basically run the Mo French offense through him, where just like keep throwing him bubble screens until he breaks one. I love that they are letting him use the entire field, because this is the type of athlete that in the past Pitt would just be like, yeah, just underneath routes, see if he can bust one per game.
Yeah, and I also think this is a type of athlete and type of receiver Pitt hasn't had probably since Tyler Boyd. You know, Mo French, pretty dynamic athlete. He's a speedster, but he was not anywhere near the level of wide receiver that Jordan Addison is. And we really haven't had a weapon like that to toss out there. And since Addison stepped on campus, he's been, you know, just a different level kind of guy.
Yeah, no, the offense hasn't figured out. There's something buzzing in that room.
Highest scoring offense in America right now.
I cannot believe that you just said those words. Could you?
Let me say that again. The highest scoring offense in all of America right now. A team that last year, we couldn't trust them to score 25 points to help the defense out. And now, all of a sudden, we're just going to be out there playing shootouts. Although I will give it to the defense. they played some bend but don't break football last week, some opportunistic football. I liked what I saw from them compared to previous weeks, but this offense is just playing on a completely different level.
We're a Big 12 offense, and I love every bit of it.
Maybe we learned something from Mason Rudolph and James Washington when they gouged us for 2 years. Just took a while to set in.
So to talk a little more about the defense, though, I mean, what do you guys think? Because, like I just said, they're playing opportunistically. You know, obviously against Tennessee, it was kind of the same thing. Let up 27 points, 34 total, but I don't count the block punt that gave them the ball at the 1 yard line. But obviously, you know, Tennessee had some big plays. Was able to move the ball pretty well, but kind of stepped up when it mattered. It kind of seems like that's the way this defense is going to be. Not going to be the suffocating defense that we saw last year with all the NFL guys, but this year, you know, this might just be their thing. It's a more explosive, big play defense who just kind of makes those splash plays to keep them in the game.
I got to be honest, I don't love it as much as I think you do. They've shown that they need to make splash plays for us to win. And we've also had games this year where they made none. So I'm worried. The missed tackling was still there. They let...
Yeah.
The secondary could not tackle a dead guy right now, and that's a little bit of a worry. We leave ourselves so open to big plays, and I think they were able to gash us a few times, and I don't like it. I think we got a little, I don't want to say lucky, because obviously there is no luck to Kenny Pickett's game, but when you go up, you know, that many points that early against an in-conference opponent, it kind of forces them to take some chances that can... you know, swing the tide and allow you to kind of snowball on top of them. You know, there were some fourth downs they didn't get that they were forced to go for. They had to take some chances that resulted in big plays for Pitt. You know, some deep sacks on plays that Sims was trying to extend. But it kind of worries me when we play more competent opponents. I do not like the feast or famine aspect of this defense.
I completely agree. There were still a lot of scary big plays we allowed. But what I was very reassured by was us getting off the field. There were a couple turnovers, two interceptions were nice to see. But that was the problem against Western Michigan. We could not get off the field to save our lives.
I thought we agreed not to mention that team's name anymore.
I'll take my fine.
No, we need to be brought to face what happened.
I'll pay my fine. I'll move on. But to this game, one that we will speak of, Georgia Tech. 2 for 11 on third down, 1 for 4 on fourth down. The defense made plays when it mattered to get off the field and get the ball back in number 8's hands. Because when that happens, good things happen.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because this game was the Kenny Pickett coming out party. I don't think there's any question about that. You could convince me that the national college football landscape had no idea who he was until this week.
Well, they knew him as the guy who was like 28 years old and back for his 14th season.
Yeah, fifth-year quarterback. That's so unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely put himself on the national radar this week. I know a few weeks ago, the Tennessee game, we said it started to feel that way a little bit, but this was the game where people were starting to take Pickett seriously and starting to take Pitt seriously, it feels like. You know, the numbers he's putting up are outrageous. He's top 5, top 10 in just about every statistical category that a quarterback can be in. And he's looking like an NFL quarterback while he's doing it. Just been absolutely unconscious on offense. And obviously leading the highest scoring offense in the country. I'm not going to get sick of saying that. Leading the highest scoring offense in the country does not hurt that one bit.
In years past, I know as Pitt fans watching every down of Pitt football, like, 5 or 10 times, we can see that Pickett had what it took to be an NFL guy. Like, how good of an NFL guy, people disagree on that. But he could make plays. He had a good arm. This year, from week one, he just looked different. He looked like a dude. And the one gripe was, is he doing this against good teams? Blah, blah, blah. You're playing MAC schools and UMass. He put it up a massive game against Georgia Tech, who kind of pushed around Clemson and UNC. So the national media saw that. Numbers don't lie. And personally, I don't see any reason why he would slow down. this offense is a well-oiled machine.
Well, so I think that's a good transition to a new segment that we have on this episode of the Loyal Sons podcast. One that I think in our most beautiful dreams we thought we'd be able to implement, but now it's becoming very real. This is Heisman Watch. Kenny Pickett, this week, has officially entered the 2021 Heisman Trophy conversation. How do we feel about that? Do we feel at all, or are we just kind of blank to everything that's happening around us?
It almost doesn't feel real, because it feels like I've just been... Well, I shouldn't say I. We've been speaking this into existence since he took out the pylon against Miami, that Kenny Pickett was going to win the Heisman.
If you follow us on Twitter, you're probably aware of the Sports Illustrated covers that we make. And basically, if you're not familiar with it, I'll sum it up. There's usually three articles that are made up by ourselves, and they involve how Kenny Pickett is better than Trevor Lawrence, Sam Howell, why NFL GMs are tanking for him, and Penn State slander, you know, typical Pitt stuff. And we're doing this 2-3 years back. Everyone's like, oh, you guys are crazy. This is hilarious. But now I think it's funny that it's just straight up realistic. The one I made this year, I talked about how he's better than Sam Howell, and he's the best quarterback in this draft class. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, you just saw the future. Are you a time traveler?
Yeah, I think, I mean, those covers, my favorite thing that Capel Faithful does before the season, and John, you do a great job on them. It's satire. But if I think at the end of the season, if you look back at the one from August, it's not going to look insincere.
The only thing that is unrealistic about that cover is that I had Clemson as number 4 in the top 25 poll. So missed there, but I hit on the Kenny Pickett stuff.
Unranked Clemson.
Yeah.
If I can bring us back down to earth, which is my only purpose to this podcast, do we think that this conversation is starting too early? Because as we all know, Heisman voters have recency bias worse than any like measured group of humans on earth. So is this starting a little bit too soon?
Well, I'm all for pushing the narrative early, because this is a media award. This is not always an award won by merit. You know, Bryce Young's the front runner right now because he's the quarterback at the best team in the country. He's putting up good numbers. He's playing well, but let's be realistic. He's the Heisman front runner because he's Alabama's quarterback, and that's about it.
Same with Spencer Rattler. He is somehow still in like the top 10 in Heisman odds despite being booed by his own fans in a game that they barely won.
Yeah, so we got to get on the Pickett train early. You know, I remember when RG3 won it, he was essentially crowned the Heisman after his first game because of an absolutely ludicrous stat line that he put up on opening night in front of a national audience. They went on to go 10-3, and he had an amazing year and won the Heisman, but I think we got to get the headlines running early. But, you know, could it be a little early? If Pitt drops a game and Pickett doesn't throw for 400 yards, there goes his chances. He's not going to get any benefit of the doubt.
I think it's shaping up very nicely. I think we have like a nice, steady climb of Pickett hype. He played the week schedule, whatever, put up big numbers. Conference play, another big game, and everyone is hopping on the bandwagon. He can have a Heisman moment over the next couple weeks. Virginia Tech, Clemson comes to town. These are big names. These will be nationally televised on ESPN. So everyone knows who he is. They know how good he is. If he has a Heisman moment, or if he throws for 405 touchdowns against Clemson on ESPN, then it'll really take off. So I think this middle of the season could take it to new heights.
I think I just worry because we've seen years where, you know, front runners are named too early, and then in the increased spotlight, all it takes is one slip up for them to completely fall off the list. I mean, Dennis Dixon had the Heisman Trophy won in, like, what was it, 2007, and then got hurt with, like, a week left, and that was all she wrote. Now, if you substitute in that ideology, a injury for a bad game, it's the same thing. I do think Kenny's going to be put on a leash that other players are not. Bryce Young, he can throw for 240 and one touchdown in a game and still be the front runner because he's Alabama's quarterback. If Pitt almost loses another game, or if Pickett throws for under like 275 any of the upcoming weeks, it's going to tank him because all of that attention on him is going to be used against him.
I think that comes back to the fact that he is playing for Pitt and not a top 10 team. So if Pitt was a top 10 team and Pickett doesn't put up great numbers, he'd be okay. But Pitt already has a loss to Western Michigan, even though Pickett threw for six touchdowns and a country mile worth of yards that game. It's still going to be something people bring up. If Pitt loses a couple games and they end up like 8-4, or they have five losses, then I think it's absolutely 0% chance he wins because of that. I think Pitt has to do well for Pickett to keep his name up there.
Look, I honestly don't think he'll win it, and it's not because I don't think he'll have a good enough season. I think it's because at the end of the day, for what Pitt has to do for him to actually win the award and like climb up the ladder,
they have to win out, basically.
I think they pretty much have to win out, and I'm not saying that's out of the question. Shout out to FPI favoring the rest of the games. That's terrifying. But I just like that he's in the conversation right now, and that people are finally realizing that Pitt does have one of the best players in the whole country, and I'm hoping, you know, give him some pub, maybe a national televised game that we wouldn't have got otherwise, and,
right?
You know, some more exposure to the program, and heck, even if he just gets invited to New York, that would be huge for the brand of Pitt, and just, you know, he's a great spokesperson for the university and for the program. So I'm taking all this that I can, take it all in.
Scenario here: I'm going to read off the top nine. Kenny Pickett is ranked ninth in Heisman odds. Bryce Young, Matt Corral, Desmond Ritter, C.J. Stroud, Spencer Rattler, Kenneth Walker III, Brian Robinson, Bijan Robinson, and JT Daniels somehow, even though he didn't play last week and really doesn't have that good of numbers. Whatever. If we get a Bryce Young torn ACL, I'm liking Pickett's odds a lot there. I think some of those teams might sputter, and those guys aren't pulling up crazy numbers like Pickett is, so... Well, let's root for a Bryce Young torn ACL, everybody.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I do think that those odds are taking into account all the opportunities that JT Daniels and Bryce Young are going to have an insane game in front of the national audience in a top five matchup. And Kenny's not really going to be offered that. But I will also throw out in, you know, flying in the face of the point I made earlier, there is precedent for this a little bit. Lamar Jackson, Louisville was not the world beater when Lamar Jackson played for them. They lost four games that year. Robert Griffin III was the first time anyone had thought about Baylor in years. They lost three games that year, and they were kind of they were top 25, but they played an unranked Washington team in a bowl game that was pre-December 31st.
The Alamo Bowl.
So it might have been exactly on December 31st, possibly.
We're going to get a fact check on that. And both those guys, so back to the point, both those guys won the Heisman in the first month of the season. Lamar Jackson won the Heisman after he jumped over that guy in the carrier dome. Obviously, he put up absurd numbers throughout the rest of the year, but those guys won the Heisman early, putting up monster stats, and just continued to ride that hype throughout the rest of the year. So going back to your point about is it too early, I think it's just right. For if Kenny wants to have a chance, it has to be, that Heisman hype has to build.
All right, you sold me. Also, it was December 29th, 2011. But yes, I think you've sold me a little bit. But obviously, with this very exciting time for Pitt football, you know, our generational player making some noise in the Heisman race, there's obviously going to be some detractors. So we will get to that in our next segment.
Number eight, the quarterback, Kenny Pickett. Yeah, so put him on your Heisman watch list.
Now it's time for Matt Online, the segment where we find the most insane and asinine bullshit Pitt fans and Pittsburgh-adjacent people can throw onto Al Gore's internet for attention. Today, and I cannot believe it took us 5 pods to use him for this segment. We have a series of tweets about Kenny Pickett's Heisman odds by none other than Mark Madden. John, would you like to read us a bedtime story?
Yeah, the super genius went on a rant, shocker, I know, after Pitt's big win on Saturday. He said, quote, "Kenny Pickett is having a very good year. He has zero chance to win the Heisman. 0%.
Hmm.
Follows it up with another one. "I got Pitt fans reciting Pickett's stats, and what if they win the ACC? Blah, blah, blah. If that happens, Pickett still won't win the Heisman. They're just not going to give the Heisman to Pitt's QB. But maybe the Steelers could draft Pickett and he'd be the savior. I agree with that," but he then adds LOL in parentheses at the end. So we're not the same team on that either. One more tweet from the super genius. "If Pickett doesn't get drafted, I bet he says, quote, Christ, 7 years of college down the drain. But he will get drafted or join the fucking Peace Corps." So Mark Madden comes out of the woodwork to shit on Pitt once again. What else is new?
Pittsburgh media loves to completely ignore Pitt until there's any type of national relevancy, and then they jump on it and run.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves, honestly. Us Pitt fans, we can shit on Pitt all we want. We can talk about how much we hate our coaches and how we'll always be whatever. But whenever people who clearly don't care about Pitt pile on, that's when I get mad.
David looks so physically. I wish you guys could see how upset he looks right now.
I'm so sick and tired of this guy. I mean, I want to give Mark Madden... I want to start by giving him some credit, actually. I think he's a really smart guy who figured out...
Tested IQ of 166, by the way.
Wow, that's so good and definitely not made up. He figured out the whole, like, hot take media heel thing a lot of years before I think it became mainstream. And he figured how to weaponize negativity in a heel persona to appeal to the bottom 50% of Pittsburgh sports fans. So I was not surprised when I woke up on Sunday after Pitt had a huge win and national media is... mentioning Pickett in the same sentence as John Heisman's memorial trophy and immediately said, there's no way that this can't happen. Pitt sucks. They always will suck. And nobody cares about Pitt football.
Imagine how much you'd hate Pickett if you had a TikTok.
Oh my God. Or if he was just like a young black man having fun. It would be... It would be this times 1,000. I'm just so tired of this shit. It's so predictable. I feel like if I didn't go to bed near unconscious, which I know is redundant, but you kind of get it. I went to the Mount Joy concert. They were fine. I could have written out this tweet for Mark Madden almost exactly. It's just so predictable. And he says, oh, it's not a shtick. I'm just being honest. It's like, no, you aren't. You know what you're doing, and you have so many listeners because you cracked the code. But anybody with an IQ over half of what you say yours is knows exactly what you're doing and just does not respect you as a member of the media.
Kind of sounds like it's working.
Yeah. Sounds like we're the ones mad about things online now.
Shit.
Okay. As 3 really smart football minds, we love college football. We know it better than anybody. We're the smartest college football fans that any of you know. Would you say that beating the number 2 team in the country is objectively a good thing?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Sure. Well,
here's a throwback to... November 25th, 2017, after our very own Pitt Panthers took down the number 2 and undefeated Miami Hurricanes in the last week of the season. Mark Madden, our dear friend, tweeted, "How do you react to the Pitt W? You beat the number 2 team in the country, but it does your program 0 tangible good." So yeah, that was my first thought too. We just had one of the biggest upsets in the sport, but...
The biggest upset of that year of college football.
Yeah, basically took Miami out of the playoff.
But it did us no tangible good, so what's even the point? We should have just lost that game.
Yeah, all we did was uncover our generational quarterback that game, who's now in a Heisman conversation.
Just to emphasize the point that, much like Mark Madden, who we were singling out here, the media loves to come out of the woodwork after not watching any Pitt games.
Oh, yeah, it's not just Mark Madden.
Yeah.
The thing that is annoying about it is if Pickett doesn't win the Heisman, which there aren't super high odds of that happening right now, but he's at least in the conversation. But if it comes to December or whenever it's announced and he's not the name announced, he's just going to come back and say,
see, I told you so.
Told you he wouldn't win.
I told you this guy who had plus 1 million odds to win the Heisman at the beginning of the year wouldn't win the Heisman.
The super genius.
That was my fat guy impression, by the way.
You sounded husky. All you need to know about this guy is he came and spoke to our high school journalism class and flat out admitted he doesn't watch Steeler games half the time. He just looks at the box score and then knows what buttons he can push to get people fired up, and that's all he needs to do.
Well, he got us nice and fired up, so.
Yeah, I'm ready to run through a wall. Okay, Mark, you win. You win.
Sims one to throw in the air and intercepted. Picked off John Patrician. Near side. Touchdown for Pittsburgh. The seventh-year player, Patrician, the pick six.
Okay, for this next segment, it's a brand new one. We're going to do a little Mount Rushmore. Yes, it is derivative. We are completely stealing it from the most popular sports podcast in the world, pardon my take. But
it's kind of cool. It's okay, because ESPN kind of does that all the time now.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's a copycat league. Copycat league.
I model everything I've ever said after PFT commenters, so I'm not even going to pretend that this was original or something that we came up with. We're just doing their whole thing, because...
But for Pitt fans, so I'm sure we won't intersect too much. So.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be stealing any of their content by talking for longer than 30 seconds about Pitt
well,
football.
Well, what if we called this the Mount Washington of Pitt stuff?
I start the whole segment over. Where was this a minute ago, John?
All right, it's the Mount Washington. Yep, you hear it here first. Yep, that's right. We didn't steal anything. The Mount Washington of things Pitt fans bitch about. That's our first topic, because all of you love to bitch. I love to bitch. It's therapeutic when talking about Pitt sports.
I literally just bitched for like 5 full minutes at the top of my lungs.
But so we're going to go a little snake style draft here. Each of us get four picks. David, do you get to determine draft order? We haven't even determined draft order yet.
Yeah, I go first because my name is on the deed of the house that we're in right now, so.
And I pay rent here, so Squid, you're last.
So I'm the guest, so I get to go first?
Yeah, it's not how it works around here.
Well, hosts you are.
You'll be lucky if we get a snake-style draft here. You might just get the last pick.
I'm just the Rodney Hammer to the draft. I'll take what I can get and take advantage of it to the fullest of my ability.
Okay.
All right, David. Looks like you get the first pick.
I get the first pick. With 1-1 in the Mount Washington of things that Pitt fans bitch about, I am going to go with attendance.
Oof. Attendance. Okay. Yeah. I feel like that covers a couple of things that I was going to discuss here. So.
Yeah, I really handicapped all of you with that one. There's nothing in the world Pitt fans love more than showing up to Heinz Field for a noon Pitt game against a FCS opponent and rubbing it into their own faces that there's only like 30 to 40,000 people there.
So I'm guessing with pick number 2. Am I allowed to say on-campus stadium?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure if attendance was going to cover half the things that Pitt fans bitch about. So, yeah, I'm going to go on-campus stadium. Ever since Pitt Stadium's been torn down and you look up and see those yellow stadium seats in Heinz Field, that's about 50% of the discussion every week for every home game. So, yeah, on-campus stadium is number 2.
John, you get the wraparound.
I think there are three really obvious picks in this draft, and you two took two of them. I'm going to take the third, and that is Sweet Caroline.
Shit.
It has gotten worse and worse exponentially for me. Like, early on, I'm like, all right, the fans like it. The students get loud. I'll give it a shot. I'll let it go. But over the past couple of years, it's really grabbed my gears.
The one defense I had of Sweet Caroline was I went to a game when I was in high school. Probably, you guys were probably there too. And they played Sweet Caroline, and I thought it was really cool as like a 16-year-old going to a game, and mm-hmm. everyone gets into it. And now, 10 years later, I'm just like, yeah, this is really lame. And I would love... the Western Michigan game was... Oh. I'll pay my fine for mentioning the game. But when they played that at the end of the third quarter and everyone in our section started booing and refused to stand up, I said, yep, this is probably the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I'm gonna withhold a lot of thoughts I have on that because I'm still lobbying my two co-hosts for us to do like our own segment on Sweet Caroline whenever we get really thirsty for listenership, because that gets Pitt fans going. But yeah, I think it's justified to complain about, but I also think it's excessive.
All right, you get another pick, John.
All right, this one covers mostly football. We're sticking heavy football for this draft, it looks like. I'm just saying, not recruiting the Whipple hard enough. Anytime a Whipple recruit goes to Penn State, Notre Dame, or elsewhere, the coaching staff screwed up and everything is terrible. Even though as of late, I think it's been pretty good, but anytime like one guy sneaks away, like Tyrese Fearbury went to Kentucky and everyone acted as if the cathedral burnt down. So that is something that Pitt fans love to bitch about.
That's a really good one, John. I actually had a little bit further down on my list local players passing on Pitt for significantly better programs. So when someone takes like an Alabama or Ohio State offer, and
people still aren't over Robert Foster. He's been out of college for like 4 years.
He would have been a first round pick if he went to Pitt, and I stand by that. But I'm talking about guys that like go to Ohio State and Alabama, and Pitt fans are like, they should have won him. They should have gotten him. No, no. In what world?
The Notre Dame guys pissed me off the most. Like, why are you going to Notre Dame? Go to Pitt.
Where do you think our big, thick, white Catholic boys are going to go?
That was a good pick. I'm going to go with local kids not playing. So the kids who come to Pitt and they're sitting on the bench their freshman year, as most freshmen do, and then all the Pitt fans screaming that they need to put them in. Exhibit 1A and 1B, Damar Hamlin and Paris Ford, both ended up being really good players at Pitt, but both players were probably lobbied. People lobbied for those two to play so much, being four-star Whipple kids, and they just clearly weren't very ready to play. I remember so specifically Damar Hamlin getting thrown out there against Virginia Tech his freshman year, burnt his red shirt before the four-game red shirt rule was in place, by the way. And I'm pretty sure he just got burned on his first play out there.
Yeah, the Clemson game, too, he got thrown out there and did not fare well. It's almost like the coaches knew what they were doing by not putting him out there. But, hey, us Pitt fans who watched him play in high school know that he was ready.
But, guys, he had that one hit that went super viral. The one in the state championship game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he buried that kid who weighed, like, 135 pounds. This is awesome, man. I'm not going to touch you.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say anything bad about Damar Hamlin. That guy gave us like 8 really good years. All right, so do I have the bend?
You do. All
right, you guys left like my two really big ones for me. Kenny Pickett running to the sideline to get plays from Mark Whipple.
That is a good one. Fuck. That is a great one.
Even now that it's like working, I'm still hearing shit all the time. Like, just throw up some hand signs, make a poster board with like John Mulaney's face, a Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor, a Teen Nick character, and then like a cartoon, and just send them in with that, you know? It's 2021, whatever, but yeah, we hate that shit.
I think it's funny that even after Kenny Pickett came out and said that he likes it, all the fans were still really pissed about it. It makes no sense, but I'm not going to bitch about it if it works, and Kenny's okay with it.
I'm still bitching about it. I hate it.
Well, do you hate it as much as you hate my third pick, which is the ACC Network?
Oh, that was my next one.
I know my dad, who doesn't know how to stream, does.
It's never been a problem for me, but all I see every week.
Right, because you know where college football streams on Reddit is. Yeah.
Yeah. But
SportsSurge.net.
Yeah, but apparently half the city can't watch Pitt games because everyone has Comcast. So, and it's funny because like half the neighborhoods in the suburbs of Pittsburgh only provide Comcast. So people's hands are really tied unless they have a brain that knows how streaming works. But yeah, that's a big one.
I'm not gonna lie, I do bitch about it. It's slightly infuriating to be like 15 seconds behind. And you can't look at Twitter or your phone at risk of missing a big play. Mm-hmm. And also, like...
The ACC Network also just sucks. Like, the production sucks. Their commercial loop music is like three...
Didn't the sound go out for like 10 minutes this week?
I think the whole second half. I don't think that... At least... If you watch the condensed game, there's no sound for the whole second half.
Yeah, we thought it was the bar that we were at, but it was just like the entire like provider for the ACC Network.
I will say, I'm glad someone was able to employ EJ Manuel. Great, great Georgia Tech pick this weekend, guy.
I feel like my time is better spent doing other things as opposed to watching Packer and Durham for like 4 hours a day, so maybe it's a good thing I don't have the ACC Network.
I do like the Bojangles and Mellow Mushroom commercials.
That's fair. Alright, Dill, you're up.
I'm gonna go with leaving the Big East. We still This is still bitched about every single basketball season, despite everyone being same team about the fact that we had to do it to allow the program
To survive
financially, because football is king. But it'll be, I promise you, mid-January, Pitt basketball is going to drop a game, and everyone's going to say, we'll never get back to prominence. Should have never left the Big East. That was the death sentence for Pitt basketball. And I just don't think that's true, because we're in probably the best basketball conference in the country.
For me, it's less of a bitching and more of like a longing. Right. I long for the Big East.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Back to me. I'm glad this one fell to me, because I am definitely like the biggest bitcher about this, and this is just rankings in general. I feel like every year, entering the year, I'm like, Pitt, they're better than that team that's ranked 23rd. They should be in the top 25 poll or whatever. This team that's ranked like 21st right now is 3-0 and hasn't beaten a Power 5 team, but Pitt is 3-0. They've beaten better teams. We're not ranked. We're only receiving this many votes. I get so worked up about rankings. I tell myself, don't get mad at them. They don't matter. Everything works itself out. But no, I bitch about rankings so much.
Well, in your defense, the ranking system is so stupid.
But alas, I still bitch and moan. I have one more pick, and I think this is a pretty good fourth-round pick. I'm going to say ACC refs. This goes for both sports. Everyone says whenever we play, like, a Clemson or an NC State, like a true ACC team, they get the benefit of the doubt because we are a newcomer to the ACC.
We're Yankees.
Yeah.
The Northerners. All right. So, my pick. I'm going to go with the offers of recruits that we are recruiting and or land. Because, I mean, people just love to bitch when we land a kid who's this was the typical offer sheet. Narduzzi has kind of turned this up, but this was the typical offer sheet for Pitt recruits for the longest time. Toledo, Kent State,
Rutgers,
Maryland,
Fordham,
Syracuse, yeah, and then like the Citadel. That has kind of pivoted to like other mid Power 5 teams. So we started to pulling some recruits.
We can compete. We're a little frisky.
Yeah, we're getting in there. We're getting down and dirty. But yeah, we were talking about this a little bit before the pod, how Pitt fans are maybe starting to say that Sky Moore from that school that we don't mention anymore was a miss from Shadyside Academy. But well, Western Michigan was his best offer, right? What, yeah. What else did he have? A couple FCS. Yeah, and then they took Will Gibson in that same class. So you're telling me that Pitt fans would have been thrilled about taking the receiver from Shadyside Academy with a few MAC offers over the Aliquippa kid. I'm sure we would have reacted.
That would have went over well.
Exactly.
Here's one that I remember Pitt fans complaining about so much. This offer sheet of a guy who is currently on our team is Pitt, Air Force, Albany, Colgate, and Dartmouth.
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Sebastian Dennis?
Correct. Two-star, 6'1", outside linebacker, Sebastian Dennis. Everyone was like, what the heck is Notre Dame thinking? Bring this guy aboard. And
yeah.
Look at him now.
It's almost like your average Pitt fan, you know, doesn't understand, like, potential and technique enough to actually scout a player, so they just look at the easiest frame of reference, which is what other schools think of him. It's almost like that.
Why don't we take that lowly rated DN Patrick Jones and that 3-star guy with not many offers, Rashad Weaver? They'll never do anything. Their offers weren't good enough.
It also, that whole argument implies a lot of sneak dissing on the MAC, and that's just unacceptable.
I respect the MAC.
I think we kind of have to at this point.
All right, David, last pick.
This is one I couldn't believe hasn't gone yet. Vincent Davis.
That was on my list.
Vincent Davis.
I mean,
I
know that went without saying.
I am number one culprit of this, to the point where, like, I actually laid awake last week and thought, like, man, I'm really mean to this kid. Like, I feel bad about it. No, it's, I think I'd have his name tattooed on my chest if we used him properly, like a third down back and ran some cool, like, slip screens to him and used him sparingly. But unfortunately, our offensive coordinator decided a while ago that he was the next Quadri Olison, the next James Conner, the next Deion Lewis, Shady McCoy, Curtis Martin, whatever.
Tony Rousset.
Running out of Pitt running backs, but Lerod Stevens howling.
That's actually a comparison.
But yeah, so if you look at Pitt Twitter during a Pitt game, anytime he touches the ball, there is intense bitching.
Yeah, I don't want to... I want to set the record straight here. I don't dislike Vincent Davis. I don't even completely dislike him as a player. I hate how we use him, and I hate the role he's played. Like you said, as a gadget guy, as like a guy
who
splits carries, could be... I mean, he was effective. Even his freshman year, I thought he was pretty good, and I was impressed with him, but... But yeah, I think people think we've been a little mean to him. And maybe we have, but it's fine. We're allowed to bitch.
It's what we do best.
Okay. We got those solidified. Maybe we'll make a cool little graphic.
Yeah. John, picture of... Well, yeah, so, okay. So I want to hear some honorable mentions real quick.
Tarping seats. I thought we tarped on attendance in the stadium enough as is, but the tarping seats is always a funny one because somehow that's just going to answer all the issues, the game day atmosphere. I do think I would like to see it in practice to see like how much better just a full lower bowl would make, but like it gets entirely
half the time nobody's even in the upper deck to where it make a difference, but whatever. Get some
also,
blue tarp to cover up the yellow seats and that'll make it better.
Also, where do you even find tarp that big? That's just a logistical nightmare. I think that's a good one. I had one that I feel like we kind of alluded to, so I didn't want to go, but it was kind of its own thought. Just general lack of media attention.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. National and local, because somehow the big names in Pittsburgh sports media still overlook this team, but like going into a season where last year we finished like 7-5, everyone complaining like, how are we not getting mentioned in this college football preview? How is player X not on this top 5 list? It's like, well, do you remember last year?
The year before that. And the year before that.
Yeah.
I had Todd Graham.
See, I had Kevin Stallings.
I think that's a little too broad.
No. Like, I feel like I should have gone with that, but it just... I should have gone with that.
You should... Kevin Stallings could have been a sneaky first round pick.
My other one was like... noon kickoffs and how we never have prime time games.
That's good. That's good. I had Notre Dame fans coming out of the woodwork in yuppie neighborhoods, like from Cranberry and Upper St. Clair.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
Or you can fill in the blank with like UNC and Duke too. You know, if we're playing basketball and
yeah,
the crowd's 50-50 and everyone in the stadium was born in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the UNC and Duke fans coming all the way down from Zelianople is always it's always a pleasant surprise. Any other ones? You guys got any other ones?
I put Penn State not getting punished hard enough in 2012, but that's mostly a me thing.
Death penalty should have been brought into action, but hey, I guess the NCAA is soft.
SMU paid some players and had their program tanked for like 25 years.
Pony up.
All right, well, that's our first Mount Washington.
Good call, Squid.
I'm a good man. You guys don't pay me enough.
Here's Pickett. Cuts it loose, looking for Addison. What a catch! My goodness. At the 43 on his Pickett's wallet. Pass complete to the referee, Jordan 25-yard throw.
All right, quick trip around the ACC. Talk a little bit about what happened last week, what's going on this upcoming week. Overall thoughts, anything jump out to you guys?
We suck. It was an all ACC versus ACC slate this week. We have three ranked teams, and they won their matchups by a total of 12 points against three unranked teams. So, Clemson got bopped out of the rankings. I think NC State and Wake Forest moved up a little bit.
I think 23 and 19.
Yeah, so... Florida State got their first win. That's cool.
But big bad Syracuse.
Yeah, everyone kind of stinks.
Yeah, we already knew that. Yeah. Except Pitt.
I think the two biggest takeaways are that Clemson looks insanely beatable yet again. They barely could beat Boston College with their back quarterback. And also, my favorite part of the week was watching Miami, led by that weird little dude, Manny Diaz, lose in hilarious fashion. They doinked that 30-yarder right down the middle to lose to Virginia. So anytime you can see Miami lose, I smile a little bit.
Yeah, so this week's upcoming slate, the big one is a non-conference matchup. Notre Dame heads to Blacksburg. My thoughts, would like to see Virginia Tech get in the win column. Hopefully they'll be ranked when Pitt heads down there. But also hope that Notre Dame beats them up a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it off mic earlier, but I think the consensus amongst us is we want Virginia Tech to win a very emotional slugfest, so that, you know, it builds their resume and therefore by the transitive property can make Pitt look a little bit better when we beat their brakes off in Blacksburg.
I think you're going to kill two birds with one stone. You guys mentioned Virginia Tech winning and looking a little bit better. And also, we can watch Notre Dame lose. I think we can all agree with that.
Always rooting against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Quick side note, Wake Forest can very much start 8-0. They have Syracuse this week, then a bye, then they have Army, and then Duke. So by the end of October, Wake Forest might be 8-0. Ranked. Top 10?
There's no way they'll be top 10. I think if Wake Forest starts 8-0, they'll be like the first 8-0 Power 5 school to not be ranked in like the top.
I'm having a 16. Hard time thinking of what their best win would be. Would it be Virginia? Louisville?
Yeah, I mean, I it guess. Would be bad. But they're ranked 19 now. And the teams ahead of them will lose. I think they will.
That's a really good point. I almost forgot that every ranked team is losing every week.
Yeah, so. Long way to go, but just some food for thought there.
So, in general, what games are you guys looking forward to watching in peace and serenity during Pitt's bye week?
It would be nice to not have a stressful Saturday watching Pitt and anticipating Pitt playing, but I will also be stressed out hoping that Iowa can take care of business against Penn State. I do not think that they will because
I'm sure that game's going to be really entertaining.
Iowa's the same team as they always are, and I don't think that's a top five team. So I hope that their defense is as good as it's been this year, and they can beat Penn State.
That's the big one. My second favorite team every week is the team who's playing Penn State, so I'll be a Hawkeye this weekend. Red River rivalry at noon. See what goes down there. Hopefully, kind of want to see Oklahoma take a loss. I don't want them to run the table winning games by 6 points all the way through. Ohio State takes on Maryland. I'm an Ohio State guy, so I'll get to watch them this week. I'm sure that will be a bloodbath.
I'm looking forward to watching none of them because I promised my girlfriend I'd take her to the pumpkin patch during Pitt's bye week.
Yeah, you're going to go ahead and watch the Red River rivalry.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
Red River rivalry. All right,
I quit. I
watch my Volunteers against South Carolina, Tennessee.
Our Volunteers.
The more they win, the better that win looks. So.
Oh, another fun one. Noon o'clock, we have Arkansas Ole Miss, two really fun teams that just got embarrassed on a national stage last week. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of stops they pull out to kind of try to re-harness the magic that they saw in their first 3 or 4 games.
Oh, this is the best one. 3:30, UConn at UMass.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah.
Tickets are only $20. Want to go? Just kidding.
Do you say that there were $1 tickets at the Vanderbilt UConn game?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
Dollar too high, if you ask me.
I don't know, man. I would have loved to go to Nashville, Tennessee, for a weekend and watch hilarious football.
Some of you may say I'm getting ahead of myself, but I am also looking forward to watching all of the highly ranked teams, undefeated teams lose, therefore clearing a path to the playoff for the Pitt Panthers.
Oh, yeah, let's just root against every ranked team.
Yeah, I mean, we need Ohio State to drop another one. We need Penn State to drop two. I'm thinking about it a little too much, but I'll stop right there.
Take a deep breath.
We're just trying to crack the top 25.
Stanford beating Oregon was the first domino to fall. We're going, boys.
Clearing a path. Put Pitt in.
Bring it back.
All right, fellas. We've got 2 more weeks until we have another game. We're getting entirely too excited.
I have way too much time on my hands.
This is going to end so poorly.
About to hit the stop button. All right. Thank you for joining us this week. Enjoy your week of no Pitt football. That's right. You can sit back on the couch, watch some other teams play, have no stress, no worries about what's the state of the program.
Get some laundry done.
Yeah, maybe even take your girlfriend to a pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you for joining us. Please follow us at Capel Faithful on Twitter. Also subscribe to us here, anywhere you listen to your podcast. And as always, hail, loyal sons of Pittsburgh.